Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on Acast. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. A companion post to this episode containing show notes appears on Deadspin.com, and you should send your questions about cleaning or anything else, really, to JolieKerr@gmail.com, or just chat with me in the comments at Deadspin. My guest today is Tina Horn, the host of the podcast Why Are People Into That?, in which she explores sex, kink, gender, and love. She joins me today to talk all about the intersection of sex and cleaning, as you guys know is one of my favorite topics in the whole wide world, and how we feel about the messes that we make intentionally and otherwise when we're getting it on. Hey, Tina.
Hi, Jolie. I'm so happy to be here and be the dirty to your clean.
I mean, I'm pretty dirty is right. The thing.
Right. We'll talk about that, the relationship, the tension between dirtiness and clean and getting clean to get dirty and getting dirty to get clean.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, if people didn't make messes, there wouldn't be anything to clean up and then I would be sad.
Hallelujah.
And also, you know, as I'm fond of saying on this show and in my real life, I'm a clean person with a foul mouth and a dirty mind.
I love that.
And I think that that's a really good way to be. And, you know, I try not to make too many apologies for the fact that I don't make apologies for the fact that I have a dirty mind. The foul mouth, sometimes I feel maybe a little bit bad about, but
I love it.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, foul mouth ladies podcasting is what the world needs.
Yeah. I mean, I try to keep it not too... Every once in a while, I'll let loose with a string. But I do swear in my real life. I mean, I really do have a pretty foul mouth in my real life.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong
with that. I'm from Boston, and I went to a women's college in Manhattan, and I'm a mouthy broad.
Yeah. You know? I see nothing wrong with that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You guys, before we get into it, I want to remind you that I offer bonus episodes and all sorts of other cool rewards to my premium subscribers. If you would like to help underwrite my show by becoming an Ask a Clean Person the podcast patron, go to patreon.com/askacleanperson to check out all the packages I'm offering and to select the level of giving that's right for you. Your support helps me so much, and I'd love to hear from you if there are rewards you'd like me to consider making available. Speaking of patrons, I have some new patrons to thank this week. I have a lot of special patrons to thank this week. Okay, so big, big thank you goes out to Jenna Heller, to James Johnson. Hey, James. James sent me a really nice email asking a whole bunch of questions about my tarot practice. So we've had a nice little exchange back and forth about that. The big thank you to Siobhan GK. Two incredibly special thank yous to Laurel Shane and Marion James, both of whom pledged $2.69, as we say on this podcast. Nice. And Laurel is the one who has the leopard gecko named Smiley, who had his little pumpkin suit on for Halloween that I shared on Twitter. And if you guys, for the existing patrons, Laurel is the one who sent me the video of Smiley eating the Pinky Mouse that I shared with you guys on Halloween, because I'm weird like that. And then also just one last thank you to Charlotte Cox, because she edited her pledge up to $10, and I just wanted to say thank you for that. And remind you guys that if you pledge at the $10 level, you can ask me questions that I will answer on the bonus episode, so you can get your questions expedited, basically. All right, so thanks, you guys. I really appreciate the support. I have an email before I have Tina start reading our questions. I actually got some listener feedback that I wanted to share. Because it's relevant to this episode. It actually, the email just came in yesterday. And so it was like really, really perfect timing. So Thalia writes to me, hi, Jolie. I wanted to let you know first and foremost that I've been using your very good advice to clean up a horrible accident in which my bottle of silicone lube spilled all over my sex toy bin. When I discovered it, the first thing I Googled was, quote, Jolicare cleanup silicone lube. The Jolicare Google trip strikes again. And she continues, and as I knew you would, you had my back. So I wrote back to her and I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. And your timing is amazing because I'm going to be recording one of my, like, you know, smutty episodes tomorrow. And so I asked her, I was like, well, what did you do? Right. Because there's a lot of different advice that I've given about silicone lube. And it's always helpful for me to hear from people exactly what it was that they tried that worked for them, because then I can...
Or what didn't work,
because then I can report back. I refer to it as field research.
All your minions out there making messes, cleaning them up.
Yeah, and then reporting back. And it really is so helpful for me. So here's what Thalia did. So she wrote back. She said, I soaked the toys in water with some dishwashing detergent, which was great on the fabric elements. For the silicone lined pieces, I then hand scrubbed them with hand soap. I also had a foaming facial scrub I was trying to use up that worked really well on the shower head that got lubey in the process. The only lingering problem is the plastic tub itself that they were all stored in, and the fake leather straps some of them have. I'm not sure if it's because I use Hippie detergent instead of Cascade. It's definitely less lubey, but it still feels slippery. It was almost a quart of lube, so I'm not sure if it's salvageable.
Well, so first of all, what's her name? Thalia?
Thalia.
Shouts to Thalia for having a quart of silicone lube.
Right?
Also, somebody should sponsor her getting more, because she just, you know, she just lost like a quart of silicone lube.
That's a lot of lube.
We got to send her like a gallon.
I know.
Like a tub. I've been on porn sets where I have actually seen like barrels, tubs
yeah,
of lube.
Like that thing you see on Amazon, the huge, the big drum of lube.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
sometimes you got to buy in bulk.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
think about your future. Make an investment in your future.
It's just good budgeting.
It is. It absolutely is.
It's like, you know.
Also impressive. I guess it could double as furniture.
Yeah, you could sit on it.
Yeah, or you could put a glass on it. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so let me tell you guys what I told Thalia, and then let's tease what Tina and I have up our sleeves, because this is we're not just stopping at Ask a Clean Person.
Oh, shit.
So what I told Thalia to do is I was like, actually, I think you should go in with dry paper towels and just try to like sop up as much as you can, then go back in when it's down to like a fine patina of of silicone lube, then go back in with the detergent. And there are some other things that I think she can try, but I'm not gonna talk about them on this episode of Ask a Clean Person, because right after we finish recording Ask a Clean Person the podcast, we are going to record an episode of Tina's podcast, and she one of the things that she wants me to talk about with her is all kinds of sex toy and sex accessory cleaning. So I know she wants to talk about lube. Mm. She wants to talk about toys. She wants to talk about harnesses, all that good
and
stuff.
And attire, like fetish apparel.
Yeah.
As well.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we're going to cover all of that stuff on why are people into that. I will be Tina's guest. So we're just doing a little teaser of that to come. And we also have quite a lot to talk about on this episode. So I'm going to have Tina read the first question from Darcy. Now, you guys, I have to tell you something. I think I've used this question before on this show, and I just can't remember. Mm. And so if it sounds familiar to you guys, and if you remember, it was probably a Maureen episode. Mm. I apologize if you've heard it before. You know, but I wanted to kick off with cum stains because, you know, I've got Tina here and that's where we're going to kick off. But then we're going to do some other stuff that I haven't done on the show. So I apologize if this is a dupe. This is a question from Darcy.
I mean, if nothing else, this will be a fun story to recount.
Yeah.
Okay. So Darcy writes, hello, Jolie. You wanted gross. So, well, this is not the grossest thing ever. It's really not.
It's pretty run of the mill.
My boyfriend and I were having fun. Sex. We were having sex. When, surprise, he came and, well, cum landed on a decorative pillow of mine. I appreciate that she spelled cum, C-U-M. Mm-hmm. I feel like the noun cum, I always want to spell C-U-M, and the verb to cum, I want to spell the
Yep, that's C-U-M. That is actually the style.
Oh, awesome. Yep. Awesome. little syntax there. Okay, he came and, well, come landed on a decorative pillow of mine. I really want to know what is on this pillow. I like the pillow, and while we did wipe the pillow off with a damp towel, there's still a slight discoloration. I tore the care tag off the pillow. It's a brocaded orange velvet, and the cover can be removed. Should I hand wash it, throw it in a cold load of laundry, and line dry? Because of how we chose to have fun, I have a feeling that this might happen again. TMI. I don't know where the line is for you.
No
Thank
lines.
You for your help. Yeah, no, that's that is
no lines.
That is way before the line.
Yeah.
Okay, here you go.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So,
great visuals, great concrete detail in this
question. I know.
Question.
You know, I will say my readers and my listeners are very good with providing a lot of detail that makes the questions and the hearing of their story so compelling, because you can visualize it. Like, I can picture that pillow.
I really can.
110%.
I can also visualize, like, the surprise.
Yeah. So here is the good news. Because Darcy said what the material was, I don't even need the care tag. It doesn't matter that the care tag is gone, because I can tell you exactly what to do with
you
it.
You are the care tag.
So I am the care tag. So the velvet that it was assuredly used for that pillow was synthetic velvet. Mm. Totally machine washable.
So is velvet usually what?
For the most part, most of the velvet that we are going to encounter in our life is synthetic velvet.
Okay.
Unless you're
talking... What is real, quote unquote, real, like organic velvet? What is it made of?
It's essentially a cotton...
Okay.
But it's velvet. Velvet is but it's akin to a cotton. It's
okay.
Natural fibers.
Okay, it's a natural fiber.
It's a natural fiber.
I, by the way, know absolutely nothing about cleaning or materials. Or I mean, not nothing.
Oh, fabric care is actually really fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I feel like a babe in the woods.
Okay.
Yeah, which is fun for me, because usually I feel like...
We'll bring you back next year for laundry school and give you a whole immersion.
Listen, I have my little plaid skirt and, you know, I'll be a very devoted pupil.
You'll be an apt pupil. Great.
I will be an apt pupil, yes.
Good, I'll bear that in mind for next year for laundry school. Okay, so most of the velvet that we're going to encounter...
Yeah. Is synthetic.
The decorative pillows, you know, inexpensive clothing. Uh-huh. I mean, unless you're talking about Stubbs and Wooten.
Yeah.
You know, tuxedo slippers.
So like paintings of Elvis.
That's synthetic.
Yeah, synthetic. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Unfortunately, you can't machine wash the painting of Elvis. But you
unfortunately.
But you can machine wash that pillow. And and it's even better that it has a removable cover, because you just take the cover off. Machine wash, delicate cycle, cold water, air dry, easy as pie. Now, if you're a little worried about the staining thing, go ahead and use our go-to whenever we're talking about a protein stain, which semen is, semen is my ultimate protein stain,
is it
right?
A complete protein?
You want to use an enzymatic stain remover. Zout is the one that I recommend, Z-O-U-T.
Wow.
But any stain remover, stain pre-treatment that is an enzymatic-based...
Like enzyme?
Yep, enzyme. Okay. You want enzyme breaks down protein, right? So there's enzyme in our saliva,
God.
And that's how we break down food. And
semen.
And how we break down semen. You guys, I have to apologize. If you guys are hearing like a bumping, I'm wearing a baseball cap for literally the first time in the history of me recording this spot. I'm on episode 94. I've never worn a baseball cap in the studio. And I keep bumping the mic. So I'm gonna turn it backwards.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you guys are hearing that, and it might be annoying. I know it's annoying me. Okay, so there we go. Hopefully you weren't hearing that.
You look like so much more of a hooligan now.
I mean, really, my inner Boston is just flying out today. So you want to go ahead and use your Zout machine wash. You will be good to go with that.
I have a question.
Yes.
So that would apply to any... protein, so like, for example, female ejaculate,
yes,
or ejaculate from a vagina,
yes,
squirting, gushing,
yep,
that would also work. There's no difference in terms of how you would clean. It's androgynous.
It is
cleaning.
Yes,
that's
it's
beautiful.
Totally gender neutral. And actually, I think you're gonna love this one.
Okay.
So it's not a 100%, but generally speaking, the rule of thumb for knowing if it's a protein stain is if it comes out of you, it is a protein stain. So the common protein stains are semen, female ejaculate, sweat, vomit. If it comes out of you, it's a protein stain.
Spit?
Spit, urine. Well, no, spit is different because
You were just saying, yeah.
Spit is actually the thing you use on protein stains because
it's enzymatic?
Contains enzymes.
Oh my God, you're really taking me to school right now.
Which
it's
is
fun.
Why saliva is one of the methods for removing blood stains.
I mean, that's
have you
I've
ever been
used...
rendered speechless before? I feel like I'm witnessing something.
I mean, I feel like I instinctively have known to spit on blood stains, but I just didn't know why until this moment.
Okay, so let me make this is going to make so much sense for you. So the another thing that works on blood stains, blood stain again, also a protein stain, right? It comes out of you. Another thing that works to remove blood stains is unseasoned meat tenderizer. And the reason that unseasoned meat tenderizer and saliva both work is that they both contain enzymes that are designed to break down protein. Meat is a protein.
Right.
If you think about the function of chewing and saliva in our mouth, it's to break down food.
Wow.
Which is protein.
This is really...
Blood is in our food, right? Think
really
about eating a steak.
I'm really enjoying this. Yeah. Really. I am thinking
about it. Apologies to vegetarians out there who are probably horrified by this. I love steak.
I mean, I'm sure it would break down, tofu is a protein.
That's right. Yes.
Or
tofu is a protein.
Texturized vegetable protein.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm from California, so I know all about this. Okay. Vegetarian proteins. Wow. That is so interesting. I mean, I did an episode really recently on Why Are People Into That? With the amazing writer and poet Jenny Zhang about fluids. And we basically talked about what is sexy about all different kinds of fluids. Mm-hmm. And it has been on my mind since. And learning this element of how they interact is just making me really happy because I feel like we talked about them obviously in an experiential way because we all have experiences with our own body fluids and other people's body fluids and so much of sex is about that and so many emotions are attached to it.
As we are going to definitely get into in the second segment.
But yeah, I feel like as is very common for my show, we talked about them in a sort of conceptual way and it's so nice to ground them in... Mm-hmm. The science.
Good. I'm glad.
This is kind of a science show.
This is definitely a science show.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the interesting and super fun things about this job is that there are a whole host of ways in which I change the way that people feel about cleaning, right? Mm. Most of us approach cleaning as this chore that someone else tells us to do or that we're shamed into doing for some reason or another.
Right.
And one of the great joys of this job is shifting people's mindset about cleaning into thinking of it as something that they do for self-care, for something that they do for their own pride. And also a lot of people start thinking of it from a purely science and operational standpoint, and it becomes interesting and fun and a challenge.
You see the world in a different way.
In much
control.
The same way that cooking might be, right? Yeah. That like, oh, this is a process, you know? And I'm doing it because I enjoy the process and the end result, not because someone is making me do it or someone is shaming me into doing it or any
Love
of the
that.
Negative connotations that we have with cleaning. Also, obviously, I make it incredibly pervy and that's fun for people.
It's also really feminist when you think about invisible labor. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yep.
Well, and you know that I have really devoted so much of my the work that I do with Ask a Clean Person to making sure that I'm doing it on male channels.
Nice.
I've been a Deadspin for 100,000 years. I was at Esquire.
Yeah.
You know, it really is very important to me. I started on a women's website, but really since the first iteration of Ask a Clean Person, I've always been in a male-oriented publication in addition to women's-oriented publication. And the guys
love
me. I mean, like, you know, they're totally on board with it. It was amazing, actually, how on board they are with it.
That's great.
So, which is maybe like a whole other episode to do. Because, Tina, I have questions for you.
Okay.
I have questions for you. And this goes right into the stuff about the fluids and the kind. I want to kind of seg from the technical cleaning answer about the cum stains into having you talk a little bit about the things that people can use to contain the mess that sex, because make the mess.
Make the mess. Yeah.
I'm all in on making the mess.
Yeah.
And definitely when we do Tina's show, I know she wants to ask me about my feelings about dirty sex as a clean person.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think my longtime readers and listeners are like, Jolie is a freaking perv. But Tina doesn't know this yet. So I think I'm going to surprise her a little bit.
Yeah.
With my own proclivities and the things that I actually do in my life, which are quite dirty, in the good way. But I want to talk about, the thing is like, go ahead and make the mess. But like, if you can contain it so that the cleaning up part isn't so onerous, that's the ideal thing to do. So just in terms of like kind of basic stuff, I want you to talk a little bit about like, you know, the blankets and the tarps and all that kind of mm-hmm. stuff. But then, Tina, I'm going to put you totally on the hot seat because I have questions about water sports.
So water, do you think your listeners know what that means?
They do, but we'll define it for them after we do kind of the basics. So like, talk about some of those, like, you know, the things that you can buy at, you know, pleasure chest yeah. type stores.
Yeah.
And sort of what the options that are available for people that they may just not know about.
So there is a product on the market that, and I think that there are imitations, but I would say accept no imitations. And I'm, you know, they don't pay me to say this. I just am a long time user of this particular product, and it's called the Liberator Throw.
Okay.
And basically what it is a blanket. I forget what the dimensions are, but I would say that it would, like, It's not rectangular, it's more like a square. So I would say if you have like a double bed, it would probably cover most of the bed, maybe like from the like below the pillow to the end of the bed, right?
Okay.
It's like, or you could have a fucking picnic on it.
Okay.
It's not like a,
it's large enough for,
it's big, yeah, big enough yeah. for two people to roll around on, let's say, or okay. probably three.
Okay.
And one side of it is velvety. Now that we've talked about velvet, maybe it is. I guess it's like a synthetic mm-hmm. velvet. Ooh, you're teaching me so much. It's probably like a synthetic velvet or velvety type material, and then the other side is a little bit smoother. And basically, it is incredibly absorbent. And what the company claims is that it can absorb up to a bladder's worth of liquid, which we will come back to.
Okay.
But just if you want to imagine like what it can absorb.
Okay.
So I swear by it. You know, the thing that is really great about it is that it's, because it's a blanket, it's so versatile. You can keep it at home. You could keep it on the bed, or you could keep it like folded up next to the bed and mm-hmm. spread it out for playtime. Mm-hmm. You could obviously spread it on, you can turn any part of your house or apartment or, I don't know, yard into a place that is essentially like a zone that will absorb
right.
all
so
of
I'm thinking
things.
Like you could throw it over like the back of the couch.
You could.
And then when like spontaneous, mm-hmm. when Darcy and her beau have spontaneous
oh, yes.
sex time, they put just grab it.
Yeah, put it over the orange pillow.
Right.
Yes.
It's just there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And very transportable in terms of take it on vacation.
Mm-hmm. Take it to the in-laws.
Definitely take it to the in-laws. take it to an Airbnb. Oh, my God. I have an Airbnb story. Can I tell an Airbnb story?
Of course you can tell an Airbnb story.
So I will leave out details just to protect the not so innocent. I once was at an Airbnb. All you really need to know is I was at an Airbnb, and you will actually be very upset about this, is the only time I've ever been to an Airbnb, they didn't provide any towels.
What?
There were no towels there.
What?
It was very...
How?
And I, you know, it was very affordable, and we were sort of like, just needed a crash pad while we were in this town for a party, so okay. It was kind of fine, but then we like... Anyway, that was the whole thing. But also, so my boo and I had lots of fun in the bed. And she came, she comes everywhere, right? So there was just a lot of coming. Good for me, good for her.
I was like, good for you.
Good for everybody.
Well done, Tina.
And, you know, we, like, were good guests and, like, folded it up the laundry and da-da-da-da-da. And we got a message on Airbnb while we were driving home saying, there's a mysterious wet spot on the bed. There's a mysterious wet spot on the bed. What do you think that is? And we were just kind of like, you didn't give us towels. Also, people, I mean, I think that it was, they said it was strange smelling. So I think that part
they
of
thought
this,
it was pee, probably.
I think they thought it was pee. I think that if they had discovered what they could have identified as like male ejaculate or semen, that they probably would have been like, oh, sex was had here. But they were like so mystified by like female ejaculation. You know what I mean?
Oh,
I think that that was part of it.
Okay.
That, I mean, that might be my, I assumed that there was some misogyny involved. But anyway, anyway, we were kind of like, you didn't give us towels. So like, what do we care?
Well, and how are you supposed to mop it up, sop it up if there were no towels?
Or put some, or lay something down.
Or lay something down.
So we hadn't brought our Liberator throw. Anyway, we, you know, my partner was a little embarrassed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I was like, girl, just tell her we spilled coffee. Ha ha. And so we did. And they left us a review saying, they were great guests, but they should be more careful with the coffee next time.
Oh, okay.
But that's the story.
That's good. Well, I mean, you know, good cover up, and you know, I'm sorry that your partner felt a little embarrassed. She shouldn't feel embarrassed.
Yeah.
I mean, girl, squirt everywhere.
She recovered.
We talked about way back in the first iteration of the show.
Yeah.
Maureen O'Connor. I think it actually might have been Maureen's first appearance on the show. We talked about squirting and how it bothers me so much when people insist that it's a woman peeing.
Yeah,
because
man.
It's not.
And
it is not.
People feel inhibited about doing it, and then inhibited about their orgasms because they're worried about peeing. Yeah, I mean, I could go on and on
and
on about
ladies,
it.
Let me. That's the goal. Okay, like let's be super, super clear here.
Yeah.
Not everyone can do it. Not everyone can achieve it. Not everyone can get there. I promise you it's not peeing, and I really promise you it's the Holy Grail. So like
it really
do
really
everything
is.
You can in your power to find a way to find that G-spot and squirt away.
Yeah,
you will
I
be
mean,
very
it's,
happy.
It's it the urethral sponge is the organ that becomes engorged with seminal fluid during arousal, and then you can stimulate that through the vaginal wall. That's the spot where the vaginal wall and the urethral sponge meet. And so during arousal, it becomes engorged with seminal fluid, seminal, like semen.
Mm-hmm.
And then during orgasm, it contracts, so it squeezes the sponge, which, you know, your results may vary, but as I have just described, I have, you know, certainly left what appeared to be a giant coffee stain. anyway, and yeah, and it sometimes smells like a bodily fluid, but so does
it is a bodily
other,
fluid.
So does other kinds
stuff.
Of ejaculate, and
yeah.
It's really, really worth it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Oh my gosh. So the only other thing that would be totally relevant to you that I want to say about the Liberator throw is it's machine washable.
Yes.
So you squirt, you come, you pee, you spit, you like whatever wetness is involved in your play, you do it on the Liberator throw. You wrap it all up and throw it in the washing machine,
and you're done.
It's good to go.
Okay. Which actually probably begins to answer my next question. And this is my own personal question. Like just so I'm so clear with everyone. So Tina, just a bit of background. We happen to be recording an episode of this podcast on the night in January when the news broke about the Russian P-tape and Donald Trump.
Oh, yes, I know it well.
And I mean, the glee in this studio, as you can imagine, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Obviously, you know, my listeners know we skew pretty liberal over here.
Oh, yeah.
But also just like the joy for me personally of like this particular thing being the scandal, right?
Yeah.
So we've talked before on the show about water sports. Do you want to define water sports for anyone who doesn't know what that term means?
It's just sexy peeing.
Sexy peeing, you guys.
Yeah, anything that any play that involves piss, and some people enjoy piss on any part of their body you can think of. Some people enjoy it on their genitals or on their butts. Some people love to drink it. Some people just want to be like soaked in it. Some people like a little, you know, there's like all
right,
kinds of
all,
different.
Right.
Yeah. All kinds of different sports. But yeah, involving piss. Yeah.
Right. So I will say it for me, and it doesn't have necessarily anything to do with being a clean person. Mm. It's not one of my proclivities.
Uh-huh.
And actually it's not one of my proclivities probably for like other reasons that aren't related to my clean personism that just like are related to my kind of like.
Have you tried it?
No, I haven't.
That's okay.
Yeah. Thank you. I'll tell you this. So we had, actually the last time Maureen O'Connor was here, it somehow came up that she watches all of her boyfriends pee. Like,
love that.
When she like gets into a new relationship with a guy, she's like, "Can I come watch you pee?" And I was like, "Whoa!" My mind was blown. Like, not because I was horrified or pearl clutching. It just literally had never occurred to me. Like, and I was my mind was blown that this was something people do. And then it turned out because the show runs on Deadspin.
Yeah.
When I wrote up the show notes for that particular episode, there were a lot of comments, and there was a whole comment thread of guys saying that their ladies would hold their dicks while they pee, and I didn't know that was a thing, and I was like, my mind was blown all over again by that. This is the thing I'll tell you. So we were talking when we did the episode with Maureen. I was like, I would never. I'm not uptight about sex things, but I am actually very uptight in relationships with bathroom stuff. Mm-hmm, I admit it. I said, like, no boyfriend has ever seen me pee.
Wow.
I won't even go, like, if he's in the shower, I won't even go in. Like, I will not. I am very, 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 like, I am very, that's the probably the only one place in my life where I'm extremely uptight. And I know where it comes from. And it's like it's a childhood thing. It's not, it's not a clean person thing.
That is also a very reasonable boundary to have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it just is one of mine. But I found that when I read the thing about the women holding their boyfriend's dicks while they pee, and I said this to the commenters because I have a great relationship to my Deadspin commenters and I like talk to them about anything. And they're very, very respectful of me. And they
awesome.
Like, they are great about like really having these like funny and open and honest conversations without being
trolly
to me about it. I'm extremely blessed.
I give you credit for
I'm
that.
Extremely blessed on the internet. Like I am just really, really blessed on the internet. So I said to one of them, I was like, I've never heard of this. It's never occurred to me. My mind is so blown right now. And I was like, but I actually kind of want to try it.
Yeah.
And it was the first thing for me that I was like, maybe actually I'm not so like, maybe that's a gateway drug for me. I don't know. I'll find out. I'll report back. Not that I'm in no current state to be even trying any of this stuff anyway. But like,
you could just
I'll report back down the line.
Post on Craigslist that's what you're looking for.
That's not what I'm looking for. Right
I know.
Now,
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. I'm just like currently not in.
I'm just saying you have options.
No. I have options. I'm currently not in a flingy state of mind these days.
Gotcha.
But that that will probably change. I used to be very flingy, and I'm just currently not very flingy. But that's like it's the wheel
ebb
of fortune,
flow.
You know, it's ebb and flow of like your needs and wants and desires and all that stuff. Anyway, so I have questions about the water sports stuff, and it's just like a thing that's like because of the pee tape, and then because of this thing this summer, like it sort of keeps coming up, and I was like, I'm gonna have Tina here, so I'm gonna ask this question. So first of all, you basically answered a lot of it in talking about this blanket, because I imagine that this is a thing that is used commonly by people who are particularly into water sports and who want to engage in them in the bedroom. Mm. But, you know, you don't want to pee on your mattress.
Yeah, unless you're in some non-towel having Airbnb and then just go to town. No,
right.
Don't do that. I don't endorse doing that. That would be unethical.
So I want to ask about the technical aspects mm-hmm. of how and where water sports are performed.
Well, I love so much about what you're saying. I love that you have revealed that with any fetish or sexual interest, there's probably a stereotype in the cultural imagination of what a golden shower is. And if you find out what a golden shower is, it's an image comes into your head and you're probably like, well, that's how people do it. Like people just, I don't, you know, whatever it is in your mind that people climb on top of each other and pee on each other.
I imagine it taking place in the shower.
Okay, so I'm going to come back. We're going to come back to the shower. The golden shower. But the thing that I love about what you're saying is that is something that I really try to do in my work and really do on my show is think about all of the different ways that you can use piss as material in sex, and that there's not just one way to do it. And also, if you're curious about it, that as you have illustrated, we have such strong taboos around privacy and bathroom related bodily functions mm-hmm. that even something as relatively simple and innocuous as watching someone pee or touching them while they pee or touching their genitals or surrounding areas while they're peeing or assisting or anything like that is so charged mm-hmm. that you might just, that might be titillating, it might be fun foreplay, it might be an indication of a certain kind of intimacy, mm-hmm. right? Of a certain kind of bonding. And you might, it's not like, oh, well, then eventually you'll graduate to drinking gallons of piss. Like, you know,
no, it might end there.
It might always be that. And that might right. always be. And that counts, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Like I think that there are a lot of really extreme things that I am into by any measure. And a lot of really extreme things that I talk about on the podcast. But mm-hmm. what I always want to do is bring it back to the fact that it's not a like bigger, better, faster, more like competition to see like who is the kinkiest. It's about what gives you a thrill and, mm-hmm. and what you like. So that being said, let's switch to how people make it happen. The number one place that I have had experiences with like pissing on people and being pissed on and like using and people drinking piss and like piss being involved in sex is in the bathtub.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I mean. I said a shower. Yeah,
I mean,
that's what I mean. The bathtub.
I used to work in a dungeon, and our routine was, no matter what age or size of the client, they got in the bathtub, and then you kind of really had to have a lot of like core strength and balance, and then you would like kick off your stilettos and climb onto the like lip of the bathtub,
mm-hmm. yep.
and piss on them
okay.
in the tub. And then they were in the place that they needed to be to shower.
Okay.
And usually that is when they would come as well. And that would be easy cleanup as well. So
okay. Because it's all just...
That's
yeah.
what tubs are for. So
yeah.
so that's...
Okay.
And also, you know, I mean...
Good for me. I'm proud of myself that I sussed that right out.
Listen, and like...
I have a natural aptitude for it.
if you're into the idea of piss play and you're like having fun and you want to, you know, just like get up and go, you know, the bathroom is probably not that far from your bed.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, pretty much everybody has that space. And the thing that is really great about that is that if you're just kind of getting started or comfortable with the idea, the quick, easy to understand accessibility of the water for the cleanup, like, you might want to see how it feels to, like, get piss, like, on your tits or, like, running down your body.
But you also might not like it.
But you might not like it, or you might be like, wow, that was really fun while you were doing it. And now 30 seconds later, I'm like ready to not have piss on me.
Mm-hmm.
You're in the fucking shower.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that. I have also been at a lot of play parties, like, you know, like orgies or, mm-hmm. or kinky parties in dungeons or what have you, where you bust out the puppy pads or chucks, as mm-hmm. we call them, you know,
yep.
and those are on hand for lots of things that get messy at those parties. But I mean, I've seen people just like stand on a puppy pad. I mean, if it's good enough for a dog, it's good enough for you, you know? I mean, it's literally designed to absorb piss.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what the difference is biologically between...
Not that much, actually.
Yeah, I mean,
not
we're all mammals,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, if you wanted to, you could put chucks or puppy pads on the bed. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't, I haven't
done
that
much. It might
be a little
crinkly.
It might be, yeah, well, it's not super sexy.
Right, yeah.
In my opinion, yeah, that's my only thing about chucks.
I'm like picturing like a wee-wee pad is like not sexy.
Yeah,
it's like a giant, like, panty liner.
It basically is like lying in a pad.
In a pad.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, and the only other thing that I'll say is that I am really the opposite of you when it comes to piss. I am a total piss exhibitionist. I'm the kind of person that this happens to me all the time. I'll be on a hike, you know, so like semi-public, mm-hmm. like a national park or something. And I'll be like, I have to pee. And I'll just like drop my, you know, hiking shorts or workout shorts or jeans or whatever. And, you know.
Oh my
piss
God.
By the side of the road or piss behind a tree or
I'm
whatever.
I'm so jealous that
and
you
somebody,
have that
and
ability.
So, you know, and the person I'm with will be like, there's a bathroom
tree
right over there. No, not a tree. there's like a concrete, you know, like public bathroom a few yards away, right there. I'd be like, yeah, no, I actually like, I prefer it. I like it. And it's not that I want people to see me. It's that I don't care if they do.
That's right. Yeah.
And I like sort of feeling, I don't know, I like turning dirt into mud with my piss. I'm that kind of person. So
that's interesting. No, I like that. I like that. Yeah.
I have been at outdoor sexy events, you know, like camps that are designated for like adults, sexy kinky weekends, where one of the things that's so great about being outdoors is that you can just like do water sports literally
anywhere
and then hit the showers.
Yeah. Interesting. So one of the things, I have a tremendously shy bladder.
Mm.
So I just wouldn't be able to, I have performance anxiety.
Yeah.
So that,
a lot of
it's
people
all
do.
It's all tied up into the,
I mean, I've trained a lot of dominatrixes and I've seen a lot of pee shyness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm the opposite.
Definitely.
I don't know.
Shyness is a curse.
Yeah.
Pee shyness is a curse.
Yeah.
All right, Tina, my friend, this is a good time for us to take a quick break.
Okay.
You guys, Tina and I will be right back because we have a big, big topic to take on in the second segment. Tina and I will be right back with more about your sex messes. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Kerr. And I'm joined by Tina Horn, the host of the podcast, Why Are People Into That? We've been talking about sex messes. We've been talking about so much more than sex messes, though.
Totally.
I mean, this has been great. I feel like I've learned so much. I know the listeners are learning so much.
I'm learning.
So we have... I'm glad you're learning, too. I knew you would. I knew you
yeah.
would. Okay, we have a question. It's not so much... I'm going to actually give you guys a little background on this question because I think it's interesting for you to hear. This question was sent in when I still was writing Ask a Clean Person for the hairpin. And at the time that it was sent, we had rolled out kind of an auxiliary column to complement Ask a Clean Person called Ask an Indelicate Question. And the concept, we really loved the concept, and I actually would love to bring it back in some way. Maybe on the show I'll sort of start to incorporate it into Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. The idea was it was a place for people to ask questions that were maybe cleaning adjacent or not even, that were just embarrassing, indelicate, things that you can't, or you feel like you can't ask your friends, but that you want to know about. So like one of them was about like, do you poo in front of your partners? When do you do that? What do you do when you have a hookup and you're like, oh my God, I gotta go. Like, do you turn on the fan? It was all this stuff. And
basically just all shit questions.
Well, so that was one of them. Another one was all about period sex.
Oh yeah.
And the way that I rolled the column out was that I gathered up about 6 or 8 hairpin contributors. We were all anonymous. We were assigned numbers, so you could, from column to column, you knew that number one was the same from column to column, but you didn't know who she was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had them all weigh in, and I had them weigh in so that I could present a breadth of experience and feelings and opinions on these things, because the idea was is that there's no one right or wrong answer, and that everyone is allowed to have their different feelings, but maybe we could articulate our feelings in a way that would make other people be able to frame feelings either that they have or that they don't know they have.
Yeah.
And the period sex one in particular was really great because it varied so wildly from what some people were like, nope, never, nope, 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 nope. And some people were like, I love it. I'm a total horn dog. And everything in between. And it sparked these great discussions, and it was just a good thing to do. So this question was one that came in. It actually, we ended up deciding, I was gung-ho on doing it. And then there was some hesitation on the part of my editors, and they were just like, we just kind of feel like this one is like too far afield.
Wow.
And so
too indelicate.
And I was like, okay, no problem. I understand. I ended up using it. I didn't use the actual question, but I used it as the basis for, an explainer that I wrote for Deadspin about how to have anal sex.
I read that
and
which loved
I sent to Tina, and I think Tina was like very surprised that like this, because I think Tina had an idea of what a clean person is.
Yeah, you're totally right. I had a prejudice. I mean, I think it's really interesting. I had this idea that a prejudice that like people who care about cleanliness enough to make it their whole show would be someone who feels that they need to maintain a level of cleanliness at all times. And I think that I feel really great about talking to you and confronting that bias that I had.
Cool.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that on your show.
Awesome.
For sure. So with that little bit of background, I'm going to have you read the question.
Cool.
As regular listeners know, so it's the question comes from Esmeralda, which as regular listeners know, means that that's a fake name. Esmeralda is my go-to fake name for obvious reasons. I'm not using this. When you guys hear the question, you'll be like, okay, yes, we know. So I'm going to have you read Esmeralda's Tale of Woe.
Just to warn you, this is kind of a gross story. Ugh. Okay. So my guy and I enjoy having anal sex. Good for you.
Good for you.
I did it a couple of times before with a past boyfriend, but this is the first time I've been with someone where we do it a lot. The other night, we were having a good old time doing anal when he says, we have to stop. And I realized there is poop. I hate that word, by the way, but I will read it.
Okay.
I just like have a prejudice against it.
Okay.
Everywhere. Ah, so gross. I am completely mortified. It wasn't like I had a lot of beans or was feeling constipated earlier that night. I love that detail. It just happened without any warning. And to make things worse, the whole room smelled like ass.
Ugh.
Anyway, my guy is a real sweetie and did not freak out about it. That's fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
He did not freak out about it at all and did his best to try to make me feel better and to get me to laugh about it. After all, poop can be funny. And by the end of the night, I was able to laugh about it with him, and he told me the incident wasn't going to deter him from wanting to do anal with me again. But I don't know if I want to do it again. I am still just utterly embarrassed about it and totally freaked out about it happening again. So I guess my questions are, is this a common thing with anal? Has this happened to other people? And how do people get over embarrassing or gross sex? And how do people get over embarrassing or gross sex experiences? Right now, I just want to cover my head with a paper bag and never get naked again. Ugh, help.
All right.
I love this person.
I love this person, too. I love her partner. I love her. I love her partner.
I really love
that he handled it in exactly the ideal way. And not everyone
can. That's true.
And it's okay if you can't handle it perfectly.
Yeah.
The goal is to handle it as well as possible.
Yeah. And also, if you have a strong reaction in the moment, it's okay to look back and say, you know, I reacted this way because I was surprised, or because I just had a visceral reaction, or because of the taboo, or whatever, and to go back and you can smooth it
over. You can address it. You can address it. It is okay to have the reactions you have. The way you handle them afterwards is what sets good and mature people apart from people who aren't quite ready.
Agreed.
Maybe aren't emotionally mature enough for these kinds of acts. And these are the things that you want to take into account before you even think about doing what may be outre sex acts for you. You know, obviously you can't anticipate everything, but really think about your level of emotional intelligence because you don't want to hurt someone. I mean,
that's right.
Well, unless the hurting is part of the act.
Yeah, you don't
want to
damage
thing,
someone, right?
Right?
If pain is what they're, that's
right.
Yes.
Yeah. You guys know what I mean when I say that. So we've got there are basically three separate questions here.
Oh, yeah. I have quick answers to the first two.
So the first one is this a common thing with anal?
Yes.
And the second one is, has this happened to other people? The answer to both of those is yes.
Yes.
You want to talk a bit about that?
Sure. Here's the thing. We can talk extensively about anal prep for civilians, for porn stars. I know a lot about anal sex and anal prep, and I have lots of tips. And the thing that any responsible anal sex teacher will emphasize is hashtag shit happens.
Yes.
And everybody who has anal sex knows that hashtag shit happens. And so I think that the thing that I want to say before we even get into all of the awesome things that you can do that are very effective in mitigating for this sort of thing is to say, kind of like what you were saying, before you have anal sex, being realistic and making a risk-aware assessment about what you are literally getting yourself into and doing some thinking and or talking about when shit happens, when fecal matter perhaps makes a surprise appearance in your bedroom. You weren't invited, fecal matter. Like, you're not on the guest
list.
You're
crashing the party. You're
totally crashing the party. How are you going to react? And if you're not prepared to do some deep thinking and talking about what you're what your reactions of revulsion are really about, then you're probably not mature enough to enjoy how fucking amazing anal sex is.
All right, I like that.
Yeah.
So one thing that I talked about in the explainer that I put on, I want to pick up a little bit of something that you said when you said, like, what you're literally getting into from the penetrator's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I was writing, the explainer that I was writing was very much framed for hetero couples.
Yeah.
And it was written for a primarily male audience. So that was for whom I was writing.
Mm-hmm.
So basically for men who were going to be anally penetrating a woman.
Yeah.
And one thing that I said was, like, you should be prepared for your dick to come out with poop on it.
Yeah.
And you should think about how you feel about that before you go in on anal.
Yeah.
If you don't feel okay about that, maybe it's not the right thing for you.
Yeah.
Maybe think about using a condom, even if you're exclusive with your partner, because that will mitigate some of the feeling that you might have about it.
Absolutely.
And to take it one step further, you can get black condoms.
Mm-hmm.
So that
mm-hmm.
if the mm-hmm. idea of seeing,
like, opaque condoms.
Right.
Yeah.
Seeing you know, a brown dick or a brown condom is going to upset you, use a black condom and then you won't see it. And actually, I have a brand for you guys, because, you know, I was compared.
Yes.
With brand names. Lifestyles makes black condoms.
Right. Tuxedos?
There are other brands. There are other brands, too. Yeah. But I just know that Lifestyles happens to be one. And it's a common and easily found brand.
Yeah.
So, you know, things to think about. There's no shame.
No.
In not wanting a poop covered dick.
Totally.
There's
or
no
not wanting to.
But just know that.
To be. That like the fecal matter from your body is on the bed, on your partner's dick, on your partner's hand, mm-hmm. in your partner's mouth. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just gonna, you know,
yeah,
analingus is
fabulous thing. Yeah.
Fabulous thing. You know, I want to say something, because I am worried that I'm gonna forget it when talking about enemas and other kind of prep.
Yeah,
which is smell, because she, Esmeralda, mentioned that the room smelled like ass.
Mm-hmm.
So smell is such an important part of sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel is so closely connected to ideas of cleanliness and filth.
Absolutely.
I'm the kind of person that really loves body odor. Like, somebody has to be pretty unclean for me to be turned off by the smell of their body. And I'm not alone.
No, not at all.
And, you know, I prefer that to, like, cologne or deodorant or, like, flavored condoms or things that like, mask human smell. Mm-hmm. I like the pheromones and smell of arousal, and I like raunchiness, right? So, I mean, I do not love the smell of a bathroom, you know. I do not love the smell of shit.
Okay.
But there's a difference between the smell of, like sexy, like, sex ass, you know what I mean? Like ass, like, anal sex room versus, like, the smell of shit. But there are so many ways that you can also, like, mitigate for the smell. You know, I have a friend who recommends... she was Allison Moon is her name. She wrote a great book called Girl Sex 101 and teaches about all kinds of things. And she was kind of talking about, like, your go kit for dates and
mm-hmm. yeah.
play parties. And she was talking about carrying a little spray bottle that has rose water in it.
Ooh.
And when she was describing that, I was a little bit like, yeah, who needs that? I bring on the raunch. And then when she was describing it, I was like, you know, that's really nice, especially if that's, like, your signature thing, and obviously any essential oil,
you know,
that you want to put in there.
You know what's so funny? I'm realizing there's literally a bottle of gardenia water on my bedside table, and it's not. I mean,
listen,
it's just me and candy corn in my bed right now. the last episode we did was our Halloween episode.
Uh-huh.
I was talking about how I woke up one morning recently. And this is a very seasonal problem, obviously. And I like went to go make my bed because, of course, I make my bed every day. And I like shook my duvet out, and a piece of candy corn went flying across the room because I had been
eating. That's how you know it was a good night.
I had been eating candy corn in bed, and the day that we were recording, I had gotten stood up for a date, and I was like sort of like, you know, crying myself a river, and I was like, actually, maybe it's a good thing I got stood up, because do you imagine if someone else like came into your bed and found like your candy corn in there?
I would be
there,
so
like,
charmed by that.
I was like,
I would be so charmed. I would be like, yes, eat whatever you want in bed. Now I'm gonna.
I was like,
fuck
well, no
you.
Wonder I got stood up. I'm a monster who's eating candy corn alone in my bed. But anyway, but I have the gardenia water right there, and I know the rose water they're talking about. And actually, I have like linen spray that's rose scent, because rose has long been one of my scents. So I love that
and they're all happy.
Now I'm gonna like just rebrand it as like my anal water.
You're prepared.
Yes.
anal water. Should call it anal water. Anyone would
it's
buy
very
that
on brand for me.
Oh my god,
prepared.
we should market it.
I love it.
You know, and there are products on the market that are actually sort of designed to that are body safe, that are designed to go on the genitals, that have various scents. Sometimes mm-hmm. they're sort of like spicy, like cinnamony,
yeah, like
kinds of scent. Musky,
yeah.
Exactly.
Some are floral.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And some of those have essentially like menthol or other things in them that bring blood to the area,
okay.
that engorge
you. That are like
you.
The cooling and warming stuff. That,
exactly.
Yeah.
And yeah. Also, you know, supposedly will make you aroused, which is just usually just like the physiological definition of arousal is like blood engorging the area.
Right.
It's like those lip glosses that plump up your lips.
Right, like the lip venom.
Yeah exactly.
Yeah. I'm a makeup girl, so I've got all the terms.
I walked into Sephora and I saw this lip plumping thing, and I like asked one of the people working there. I was like, can you explain like how this works? And she was describing it. I was like, oh, it's like those like aphrodisiac things that you put on your genitals. And she was like, yeah, bye. And I was like, and then of course I put on this like, you know, purple lipstick and was running around
good
with my fish lips. Yeah, it was fun.
Good for you.
Anyway, same deal, but smells, you know, and, or light, lighting candles, you mm-hmm. know, I think that there's no, sometimes then the combination of those smells with just like a personal scent, you know, like a perfume will combine that scent with like your natural smells to create. That's why like perfume smells differently on different people.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that kind of thing. There's no shame. And I would rather that you do something like rose water than like thinking they have to spray the room with some like intense
with like
chemically.
Lysol.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
Like you don't need to Lysol the room.
Or like
I mean,
new
you might,
car smell or
you
something
might
like that.
You might want to Lysol the room.
But, you might want to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so scents.
Okay. So let's talk about, excuse me. We're going to run a little long, and I want to make sure that we don't run too long because we got to go record your show.
Totally.
I want to talk quickly about prep, about using enemas,
mm-hmm.
And I want to talk about ejaculating, and those are sort of the beginning and the end of the physical act of anal, and I want you guys to know some things to prep. So let me quickly run through the enema stuff. If you want to add stuff in,
absolutely,
please do, because I think you actually even have more tips than I have. But basically, the idea is that before, you don't have to do this, but many people do choose to use an enema before anal sex. If you're going to do that, here are the things you want to know about doing it, because it's different from performing a regular enema.
Yeah.
So you want to use warm water instead of enema solution.
Yes.
You do not want to hold the water in.
Yes.
You want to just do a very quick flush. And another thing that people do in addition to enemas or in place of an enema is to just go into the shower and wash and use their finger to kind of clear the anal opening.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not like all in on doing an enema, or you just can't, or you don't have time, that's mm-hmm. that's a quick and easy solution.
Mm-hmm.
On the end side of things.
Wait, can I add something about
yes,
the...
Yes, you sure can. Please do.
So you said warm. Warm definitely is right, but I would even more specifically say body temperature.
Okay.
So like don't enema with like don't like put the kettle on and then like use that and then okay. put that up your butt. Like it should, you know, if you run your hand under the faucet, it should feel body temperature.
Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
Good to know. On the end side of things, if you are, you should know this if you're giving. I mean, you should always know this if you're giving, that you always want to ask in advance or when you're getting close to coming, if it's okay to come inside someone. That's that first and foremost is a respect thing.
I would say you should ask before.
I think so.
Yeah, because in the heat of the moment, first of all, you're like getting close and then they're like, well, let me think about it. And you're like, you're not, you feel pressure, et cetera, et cetera. So I would say that would be a conversation I would recommend having before the anal.
Excellent.
Which could be fun part
which
of foreplay.
Which is fun, yeah, like, fun part
hey,
of it.
Hey, I like the idea of doing this. How do you feel about it?
Right.
And no, like you know, that. Being able to, that would be a good time to share your STI status and talk about whether you want to use barriers for whatever reason, for easy cleanup or for protection or, you know, luckily, one of the great things about anal is that you can't knock anyone up by fucking their ass. I mean, semen could leak out could, and get, you know, it could happen, but you know,
but it's very unlikely.
Yes.
It's very unlikely. So the thing is that first and foremost, that's a respect thing and, you know, you should not assume. But very tactically and specifically with anal, if you do ejaculate inside of an anus, the, semen can have a laxative effect. So you want to be very, very aware of that before you just go, because people aren't, it doesn't like necessarily stand to reason that one would create the other, but it can. And actually I'm kind of wondering if what happened in Esmeralda's case is if there was some pre-ejaculate, like a fairly heavy dose of pre-ejaculate that may have caused her to have a laxative effect, since she said it was sort of such a surprise thing for her. So that may be like just the explanation for it, but really know that, because both of you could end up with an unpleasant surprise. Now, of course, there are probably people for whom that's part of the act and enjoyment. And,
sometimes,
you know, it's probably a sliver of the population who enjoys anal, but like, you know, everybody's into something.
That is true. I just really also want to emphasize that before doing anal, or even if you have done it and you just want to do it better, really understanding anal anatomy and understanding, you know, basically like the entire anatomy, like between your like belly button and your knees, more or less, is going to help you to have hotter, better anal sex. So I'm just going to put that incentive in there, but also help you understanding anatomy and the reality of what is going on in inside and outside of one another's bodies is also going to help you to mitigate for these disasters that, or you know, that people see as disasters or catastrophes that inhibit them from fully enjoying anal. And the, you know, the more you know,
right?
So you know, for example, inside the anal opening is the rectum, and fecal matter is not actually stored in the rectum. So I think that sometimes people have anxiety about anal sex because they think, you know, you're going to put a finger in there and they're just imagining like, well, you know, that's when I have a bowel movement, like that's where it comes out. So it's probably just going to like be there on the other side, you know, but it actually is not stored there. Now it's stored higher up. In the colon.
In the colon. Yeah. It's like how urine is stored in the bladder.
Exactly. Now, as you probably are aware, the fecal matter does travel through the rectum on its way wherever its destiny lies. So the walls of the rectum are not unsullied.
Right.
Right? So which is why sometimes you could put a finger up your butthole, put a butt plug that is not too long or big up there, and it will come out with stray matter on it. In general, I don't care how big your cock is not poking up against the colon.
Right.
Like, just...
It's just not.
It's just not.
Yeah.
So, in general, what we're... So, you see what I mean? Where you actually really understand, like, what is the atmosphere that your dick is going into? Or your hand, or a dildo,
right.
Or
your tongue, or whatever.
Yeah. Whatever. That can help with your anxieties, and right. It can also help you to be, in terms of being as realistic as possible about what's going to happen.
Right.
So the reason that sometimes shit happens the way that it happened to Esmeralda might be what you were describing. I actually didn't know that about semen being a laxative. So maybe pre-cum, you know, different positions, getting real, sometimes sadly when you get really into anal sex and you're super engorged and you're super relaxed and you're like really feeling it, like basically like things start to move, because anal sex, you know, it's a sign of like civilized society, that you're like basically like fooling nature mm-hmm. by going in through the outdoor,
right?
So sometimes nature
finds a way to fight back.
Yeah. So you know, I think that you really have to think about the fact that there are so many nerve endings on the asshole itself, and because anal sex is taboo, and because, you know, for some people with certain genders and certain bodies, it's the way to have penetrative mm-hmm. intercourse. There are all kinds of reasons to do it in the butt, you know, variety, a spice of life.
Because it's great. Do it in the butt.
So, you know, you can stimulate the prostate really well through the butt. You can stimulate the G-spot actually really well through the butt. Like, there are a million and one reasons to do it. And realizing that shit might be a part of it is, you just have to decide for yourself mm-hmm. whether the pleasure and the experience is worth the possibility of a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, I think that's great. So we have gone super long, and I want to leave us a lot of time to record why are people into that. So here's what I'm going to suggest. The big question that Esmeralda had really for us, which is not at all a cleaning question, was how do people get over embarrassing or gross sex experiences? So I want to propose that you and I take that over into why are people into that.
Great.
And start with that.
Awesome. That is totally
I know
on
that
brand.
You've got other things that you want to talk to me about specifically.
Yeah.
I know we're going to talk about toy cleaning and lube cleaning and cheap. Well, I think we've already answered. See, you know, Tina was like, you're a clean person, so you must be really uptight. I think we've clearly answered that I'm not.
I stand corrected.
So maybe we can touch on that a little bit at the end of the episode, but we'll do kind of the embarrassing mm-hmm, or how do you mm-hmm. get over embarrassment.
Yeah.
And then we'll do kind of some of the technical stuff about the toys and the leather and all that kind of stuff. Because I've got a lot to tell you. I think Alcy wanted to talk to you about dungeons, which I love a dungeon.
I love the idea.
I love a dungeon both from the perspective of someone who is a clean person, a medieval enthusiast, and who herself is into some kinky stuff. So it's really, you're like really speaking my language. Tina, this was amazing. This was really, really fun. Well, I could have done a double ep with you.
Well, I'm around.
Because I feel like we could have just kept going. We are going to keep going. We're going to keep going on your show. And so that'll do it for this episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. If you guys like what you heard today, please consider becoming a patron by going to patreon.com/askacleanperson and selecting one of the amazing rewards I'm offering to my listeners. I would also love it if you would subscribe on Acast or iTunes. I would love it if you would subscribe to Tina's show. It is called Why Are People Into That? It's also hosted on Acast, our wonderful podcasting network that we love. Actually, our podcasting network was the one that put us together.
Yes.
And they were so smart to do it, because it's been great to have you here.
I have been enjoying myself so much.
I'm so glad. This was really...
I'm feeling cleaner already.
I'm so glad to hear it. While you're over subscribing on Acast or iTunes, please leave a rating and tell your pals about this weird little cleaning show that you love so much. And of course, thanks to my listeners for joining me for another episode of Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.